now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
My name is Michael B, and did a little longer promo than usual, but I was posting to Facebook and Twitter, alerting the audience to a live show, first one since Friday. Had some dental minor surgery. I thought the whole thing was going to be done in one shot, but it looks like I have to let it, the bone stuff underneath the gum grow again, and then they pop the implant in, and then I'm finished. So, there were a lot of jihadist Islamic attacks worldwide, and we're going to get into those down the line. I want to focus in on what's happening in Britain and Germany, all in the name of cultural enrichment. And we've got to ask ourselves, quite frankly, are we going to allow this to take place here in America? Now, yesterday, we celebrated Independence Day. And I was going to read an interesting article coming out of Godfather Politics, but it strayed into another topic that I'm not going to be discussing today. So I was hoping it would have stayed on to, well, the course that I would have liked. You know, we celebrate Independence Day and our freedoms, yet are we really any more free? Are we any more secure? If you go back and look at what the Founding Fathers fought for, I think they would really be ashamed. I think they'd be ashamed at the society that we've created and what we glorify. I'm not going to go down that tangent yet. If I have time permitting, I'm going to share some quotes from the Founding Fathers. But it really is important that we look at what's happening in Western Europe, in Germany, and Britain in particular, since those really are our closest, certainly Britain is, our closest allies in Europe. And we see there's a tendency with the New World Order, with the globalists. What they do is they experiment with certain ideologies and certain methods to achieve control. They do that first in Europe to see how they would how the Europeans would adapt to it, and see how far that they can be pushed. And when they see success, when they see country citizens accept what's happening, and I'm not talking about just bitching and moaning about it. I'm talking about not fighting back in the real sense of fighting back, like the colonialists did, obviously, in the 1770s. No, you just bitch and moan, but then you still go along. That's a success, you see, for the New World Order. And then they slowly bring it to America, okay? And we saw that with communism in Russia, all right? We saw then the gradual takeover of the communists owning Eastern Europe. And then we saw communism come to America in the 1960s with the Communist Manifesto. So the elitists tend to experiment in Europe, and then they bring it here, which is why it's so important to watch and learn from what Great Britain and Germany are doing. So I have two articles from Infowars.com, and I'm going to go to Germany first. This comes, well, I guess Infowars is acting as a hub for the article is from SHTF Plan. I'm not sure what that is, and it was posted today. Cultural enrichment. German city with the most immigrants also has the most crime. Excuse me. Over the last 20 years, European cities have slowly become more ethnically diverse as EU governments open their borders to foreign populations. See, as I talked about, I believe a couple of weeks ago, that guy Juncker is, I guess, the president of the European Union, and he's really putting the pressure on Hungary, Poland, and the Czech Republic to take in these refugees, which they are refusing. And by the way, they don't have terrorist attacks in those countries. And see, they want Eastern Europe to mirror Western Europe. And obviously, for control. So, and as this process has taken place, the authorities have been quick to cover up any crimes that have been committed by these populations. For instance, Swedish police are no longer allowed to describe the ethnic background of the criminals they catch. And most notably, the German government and press were desperate to cover up hundreds of sexual assaults that occurred in Cologne in 2015. Now, I think that was when they had their Oktoberfest. I could be wrong. Or maybe that was around the Christmas holidays. I'm not sure. However, there are certain statistics that can't be covered up. A government could try to conceal the connection between crimes and specific ethnic groups, but they can't cover up the overall crime statistics of an entire city. Plus, politically correct governments can't really hide the ethnic diversity of their cities. That's something that their progressive sensibilities command them to promote. Fortunately, sometimes those two factors come together to give us all a good look at the relationship between immigration and crime in Europe, despite the best efforts of European governments to conceal that connection. For example, the German government recently revealed that more than half of the population of Frankfurt has a foreign background, arguably making it the most diverse major city in Germany. And that's to do what? To divide and conquer. It's to create tribalism. Obviously, you're not going to like these people coming into your cities and into your countries and destroying it. So you're going to be angry with them, you see? And then what the left gets to do is they get to call you an Islamophobe. They get to call you a racist. You know, you're a racist to want good things for your city and for your country. You're a racist if you want to protect your culture. All right? See, it's racism to put America first because, well, obviously, America must only be for whites. See, that's the game plan that they give to us, and they impose guilt because you love your country, which is predominantly white. Well, that's just the way it is. And they discourage us to have children and families. Meanwhile, these populations, and we're going to talk about that later on, we have a disturbing audio clip from Gavin McGinnis, who is an independent media talk show host. He does come on the Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, at a pretty good pace. And he's on top of this stuff, and it's a very disturbing audio of just who these people are and why they're so violent. So here's a quote. For the first time, more than half of Frankfurt residents now have a migrant background, according to official data from the city's Office of Statistics and Elections. Presenting the figures, which show that 51.2% of people living in Frankfurt have a migrant background, the city's Secretary of Integration, see, they have a Secretary of Integration, Sylvia Weber said, "We have minorities with relatively large numbers in Frankfurt, but no group with a clear majority. Representing 13% of the population, Turks are the largest non-German minority, and 61% of residents who were born abroad are citizens of other European countries. As far as I'm concerned, a Turk, a Pakistani, Syrian, if you will, a Somalian. See, that's a very cute way of saying, well, there's only 10% over there, 10% over here. No. They're Muslim, folks. This is what this is about. They're pulling the same kind of Muslim violent jihadist individual from all these different countries, and they're breaking them down separately, saying, oh, there's only 13% of Turks, which is the largest. Nothing to be concerned about. No, when you pull them all together, Germans are outnumbered. Police are told to cover up crimes. It is now becoming hate speech in Germany, which you can be arrested for speaking out against Islamic barbarism. In France, they already have that. A lot of you people have heard of Brigitte Bardot. She's been in jail several times. Tony Robinson in Britain has been arrested several times for speaking out against this jihadist takeover. And this is coming to America, ladies and gentlemen. And we really have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do to stop it? On top of that, the data reveals that these people aren't thriving in Germany. And I'm going to get into that with that audio. You're going to see why. 49% of people with foreign backgrounds in Frankfurt live below the poverty line, compared to 23% of native Germans. And they are significantly more likely to be unemployed. But that's not the real kicker. Frankfurt was a diverse city long before the migrant crisis reached its peak. And even then, it had a startling crime rate. Quote, the 2013 national crime figures, which were leaked to Welt newspaper earlier this week, show just under 6 million crimes were recorded in Germany last year. When broken down, the number of crimes per 100,000 inhabitants, Frankfurt am Main rates as the most dangerous city in Germany, with 16,292 crimes per 100,000 people. Its high ranking was put down to its red light district and the large airport. Of course, if you brought this fact up to most leftists, they will call you a racist. You see, just what I said. But it has nothing to do with race. The real problem is that Germany hasn't properly vetted these immigrants, nor have they successfully assimilated them. Okay, first of all, they have vetted these immigrants. Please, they know who these people are. Believe me. Now, I don't know if Germany has an MI6 or a CIA. I don't know what their high echelons intelligence agency is called. Believe me, folks. Don't be fooled. They know who these people are. They know the vast majority of these migrants are military-aged men. Same thing that's coming over in Italy, 3,000 a day. 3,000. Think about that number, folks. 3,000 a day. 90,000 a month. All right? That's over a million a year coming into Italy through Libya. through Morocco. You think about that for a minute. 1 million military-aged men. Unemployed, unassimilated. They cannot be assimilated. And this audio clip that I'm going to play for you is going to tell you why it is impossible to assimilate barbarians into a cultured society. It is an impossibility. And these governments, enchained to the European Union, which has its sights set on creating a one world government, wants these people in here to create the chaos. It'll come to a point where they'll have to declare martial law and do a complete and total takeover. And then when Europe is conquered, and that could be 10, 20 years, who knows, then it's full throttle on the United States of America. Full throttle. And I'm going to say it again. If we don't get ahead of this situation now, right now, if we don't get ahead of this, it's going to run our children over. And are you prepared consciously to surrender our country, to destroy the founding fathers' legacy that they left for us? Are you prepared? I'm not prepared. And that's why I'm doing this show. And that's why I research what I research and I share it with you in hopes that you will share it with others and that you will share it with your children so they know what's coming and act accordingly. That's the bottom line, folks. That's the bottom line. So we're going to continue. So forget about the vetting and the assimilation, okay? Germany is inviting people into their country who have no respect for German law. Well, that's correct. We know that in the Quran, Sharia law rules. Of course they're not going to respect the laws of our Western common law, really. Of course they're not going to. Only the laws that came from Muhammad and his caliphates, who he was touched by one of Satan's demons. I did a 5-part series on that last month. You could check it out in the archives. And they bow down to Satan. So do the world elites, which is why they're using Islam as the hammer against us. So of course they're not going to respect German law. And the German government are not pressuring them to join German culture, of course not. And the result is predictable, naturally. Germany has a large foreign population that is young, jobless, alienated from mainstream culture, and more likely to commit crimes. Absolutely. Don't we see that in America, folks? Why do we have crimes in our inner cities? Well, our minorities are uneducated. Their culture, their music, is one of violence. Racism, violence against women, violence against the police, violence against whitey, you know, not putting on a suit and tie, not speaking proper English. You're a sellout. You're an Uncle Tom. It's the same thing here in Europe. They're jobless, they're unintelligent, and it runs deeper than that. Their DNA is so destroyed through something called inbreeding. And that clip is coming. But I'm going to read the last paragraph. And then we're going to go into Britain. And we're going to see more barbarism. And then I'm going to show you why these people are the way they are. And how dysfunctional. What we're seeing in Frankfurt is the future of Europe and possibly America. That's my add-in. If European Union nations continue to celebrate multiculturalism, which is tribalism and separatism, and leave their borders wide open, it will be a divided continent. It already is. It already is Western Europe versus Eastern Europe. Filled with ethnic enclaves, ghettos, no-go zones. We have that. And we have that in America today. Civil unrest and crime. If they don't see the folly of multiculturalism, within a generation, every city in Europe will be like Frankfurt, or perhaps even worse. And that's the end of that article. Another article from Infowars.com comes from West Monster. And this is also dated today. There are 5,000 cases of female genital mutilation in the United Kingdom over the past year. And if you don't know what female mutilation is, I suggest you look that up. And by the way, Uma Amadeen's mother is one of the biggest supporters of female mutilation. And of course, Barack Obama and Uma Amadeen are all part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yes, they are. Deep ties to it. They are both Muslims. Accept it. Deal with it. Learn it. Love it. Okay? Because it's just the way it is. It's exactly who and what they are. They're Muslims. They hate America. And you just have to understand that they are all for this barbaric torture. So, newly released data from the NHS, whatever that is, shows there were more than 5,000 cases of female genital mutilation, also called FGM, recorded over the last year, with 120 cases involving women and girls that were born in the United Kingdom. So not even brought over here. Already mutilated. They're born here. They are British citizens, if you will. And yet, there's 120 cases of women that were born in the UK out of that 5,000 that occurred in the United Kingdom. So, the practice is banned in the UK. Well, that means nothing. However, many families take young girls out of the country in order to undergo the barbaric procedure. Since 1985, when it became illegal in the UK, not a single parent has been prosecuted. Data suggests that most at risk are girls from Egypt, Gambia, Kenya, Barack Obama's home country, allegedly, and Nigeria. Around a third of all cases involve girls from Somalia. So, gee, that was a very short article. That was very short, surprisingly. But the point being made is that these barbaric tortures are being brought over into Europe. Now, what creates these violent individuals? How does this happen? Well, folks, not only is it through psychological conditioning, it's also because these people are so physiologically damaged that these are true cavemen. And they're being used to exactly what I said, for world dominance and takeover. And you give them an open door policy to commit violence, and these bloodthirsty animals will do so. And the reason being is the severe inbreeding that goes on. So there is some graphic language. There's nothing I can do about that. And excuse me, but I don't have the the software to bleep these guys out, and I don't have like the timing of when, you know, the language. So there's two curses in here. Apologize for that. But here's Gavin McGinnis and why the Muslim world cannot and will not ever assimilate into our societies. Here we go.
Gavin McInnes often just makes points that are funny, yet when he was on the Joe Rogan show a few weeks ago, discussed various topics, and one point that came up was inbreeding in the Muslim world. However, unlike his mention of this on Fox News, this time his statement was more fleshed out and from a serious perspective.
And no one ever talks about this, but they have a major problem with inbreeding. They are marrying their first cousins again and again and again, and that makes your evolution go backwards.
Is this true? Where are you getting that from?
Consanguinity, I think it's called. Muhammad said it's okay to marry your first cousin.
For real?
And you do that once or twice, it's pretty bad. And you do it for 40 generations, and now you're going back in time.
This is your own theory.
No. Look it
Someone
up.
Else
Muslims
has a
and inbreeding, major, major problem.
I've never heard this before.
Especially with immigrants in Britain, like the Pakistanis in London. They'll have all kinds of serious inbreeding problems because that's an even smaller sample size you're dealing with.
Huh.
And every time I bring this up, people go, yeah, what about white people, hillbillies? They were inbreeding, or royalty, they were inbreeding. And I go, yeah. And it went real bad. It was a bad move. We learned the hard way. We saw Deliverance.
Drop yourself in for this. 70% of all Pakistanis are inbred. And in Turkey, the amount is between 25 to 30%. More stillbirths among immigrants. A rough estimate reveals that close to half of everybody living in the Arab world is inbred. A large percentage of the parents that this is blowing my mind. Large percentage of the parents that are blood. Where's this coming from? What is this website?
I blog posted it before I came here.
PJ Media, but these are all the sources that went to this. This source is reproductivehealthjournal.com. This is a BBC investigation that went to it. So
listen to the BBC investigation in Britain several years ago revealed that at least 55% of the Pakistani community in Britain was married to a first cousin. The Times of India affirmed that, in quotes, this is thought to be linked to the probability that a British Pakistani family is at least 13 times more likely than the general population to have children with the recessive genetic disorders. Holy shit. BBC's research also discovered that while British Pakistanis account for just 3.4% of all births in Britain, they accounted for 30% of all British children with recessive disorders and a higher rate of infant mortality. What in the fuck? Labour Party MP has called for a ban on first cousin marriage. Medical evidence shows that one of the negative consequences of inbreeding is a 100% increase in the risk of stillbirths. One study comparing the Norwegians and Pakistanis showed that the risk of the child dying during labor increases by 50%. Wow. That is insane.
I also read somewhere that a lot of the symptoms of inbred people are irrational rage, fanaticism, and they end up just describing ISIS.
These are startling statistics, which may explain the problems with the Pakistani community in Britain, but they are far from the only nation in the Muslim world where this is a problem. According to Danish psychologist Nikolai Senels, statistical research on Muslim countries shows high rates of blood-related marriages. For example, 46% in Bahrain, 33% in Egypt, 80% in Nubia, which is the southern region of Egypt, 60% in Libya, 64% in Jordan, 64% in Kuwait, 42% in Lebanon, 48% in Libya, 47% in Mauritania, 54% in Qatar, 67% in Saudi Arabia, 63% in Sudan, 54% in the United Arab Emirates, and 45% in Yemen.
Just want to stop right there. The clip mentioned Saudi Arabia. Well, and I'm going to go back to the clip, but I want to jump on that. Here's an article from the cairnsnews.org, cairnsnews.org, and this was in 2015. Muslims suffer insanity, low IQ, recessive disorders from 1,400 years of inbreeding. breeding. Biological fallout from 50 generations of first cousin marriages. Now, this comes from a Lockheed employee in Saudi Arabia. During the pilot transition program with the KV-107 and C-130 with Lockheed, just wanted to make sure that I was had my mute button off, we found that most Saudi pilot trainees had very limited night vision even on the brightest of moonlit nights. Their training retention rate was minimal, including maintenance personnel. Some had dim memories and had to be constantly reminded of things that were told to them the day before. As an American, British, or any other Western instructor is burned out pretty quick, it actually took Muslim C-130 pilots years before they could fly in the safe in the dark safely and then would be reluctant to leave the lights of a city. Ask any Marine, Air Force, or Army guy who's been trying to train Iraqis, and especially Afghans. Islam is not a religion. It's a way of life all the way around, and that's exactly true. See, when we, as Christians, go to church on Sunday, read our Bible, yes, Christianity, there is a way of life. Treat your neighbor the way you love your neighbor as yourself, etc., etc. But we obviously assimilate into secular culture, right? We obviously assimilate to the morals and the ethics of a civil society, which I've shown you how the Muslims in Germany are not doing that. So, yet another set of revealing facts about Muslim beliefs and traditions and ways of life. 140 years of inbreeding. Nikolai Senels is a Danish psychologist, and that's probably what was mentioned in the audio clip, who has done extensive research into a little-known problem in the Muslim world. The disastrous results of Muslim inbreeding brought about by the marriage of first cousins. This practice, which has been prohibited in the Judeo-Christian tradition since the days of Moses, was sanctioned by Muhammad and has been going on now for 50 generations or 1400 years in the Muslim world. This practice of inbreeding will never go away in the Muslim world, since Muhammad is the ultimate example and authority in all matters, including marriage. The massive inbreeding in Muslim culture may well have done virtually irreversible damage to the Muslim gene pool, including extensive damage to its intelligence, sanity, and health. According to Senels, close to half of all Muslims in the world are inbred. In Pakistan, which the clip was talking about, the numbers reach 70%. Even in England, more than half of Pakistani immigrants are married to their first cousins. And in Denmark, the number of inbred Pakistani immigrants is around 40%. So this article corroborates the audio clip. The numbers are equally devastating in other important Muslim countries. 67% in Saudi Arabia, 64% in Jordan and Kuwait, Sudan, Iraq, all above 60s, and 54% in the UAE. According to the BBC, this Pakistani Muslim-inspired inbreeding is thought to explain the probability that a British Pakistani family is more than 13 times as likely to have children with recessive genetic disorders. While Pakistanis are responsible for 3% of the births in the UK, they account for 33% of children with genetic birth defects. That's gigantic! 3% of the births, but 33% of genetic defects. Folks, don't you understand that when, and it's just the word I'm going to have to use, when an inferior population is created, they are more dependent on government resources. Therefore, you have to grow the government. And it's a self-fulfilling suicide. But these global elites don't care because they're old people. They're getting their money now. And their families are protected. Do you understand? And you know, I'm trying to give you people a visual. It's going to be an upside down funnel, okay? The tiniest part of that funnel it's a triangle. Either way. And it's a pyramid. Even better, it's a pyramid, folks. And when that capstone hits onto that pyramid, like on the dollar bill, it's going to be a massive slave class serving a very small elite. Instead of what it should be, is that it should be a funnel where prosperity is for most of the world and very little poverty. But you see, it's going to be the other way around. You have to create an inferior class. An inferior class is easier to control and enslave. The risks of what are called autosomal recessive disorders, such as cystic fibrosis, spinal muscular atrophy, is 18 times higher, and the risk of death due to malformations is 10 times higher. Other negative consequences of inbreeding include a 100% increase in the risk of stillbirths and a 50% increase in the possibility that a child will die during labor. Now, I know some of you will applaud this, you know, hey, great! But from a humanitarian level, this is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. And remember, folks, some die, yeah, but look how many live with all of these birth defects. It's disgusting. Lowered intellectual capacity is another devastating consequence of Muslim marriage patterns. And here's your poverty class. According to Senals, research shows that children of consanguineous marriages, well, obviously, consanguineous talks about blood, in blood, marriages lose 10 to 16 points off their IQ and its social abilities develop much slower than inbred babies. The risk of having an IQ lower than 70, the official demarcation for being classified as retarded, increases by an astonishing 400% among children of cousin marriages. Similar effects were seen in the pharaonic dynasties in ancient Egypt and in the British royal family, where inbreeding was the norm for a significant period of time. That's where you get the blue blood concept. In Denmark, non-Western immigrants are more than 300% more likely to fail the intelligence test required for entrance into the Danish army, Senel says. The ability to enjoy and produce knowledge and abstract thinking is simply lower in the Islamic world. He points out that the Arab world translates just 330 books every year, about 20% of what Greece alone does. In the last 1,200 years of Islam, just 100,000 books have been translated into Arabic, about what Spain does in a single year. 7 out of 10 Turks have never even read a book. Senels points out the difficulties this creates for Muslims seeking to succeed in the West. A lower IQ together with a religion that denounces critical thinking surely makes it harder for many Muslims to have success in our high-tech knowledge societies. And these governments of the West and the European Union, they know what they're doing. Let's continue with Gavin McGinnis's clip.
With often higher rates in Pakistan and Afghanistan, among other Muslim countries, marriage with blood relatives is by no means exclusive to Islam, and was commonly practiced in these countries before Islam, with the most famous example being the Egyptian pharaohs. However, it is well known that the Prophet Muhammad married off his daughter to his cousin, and the Prophet himself married his first cousin. While this was accepted culturally at the time, the fact that this example is being followed in the modern age, in which we know the problems that this causes, is deeply worrisome due to the heavy immigration from many of these countries into Europe, which means that these countries will deal with the negative repercussions. Outside of the tremendous aforementioned increase in birth defects, according to a study conducted by the Indian National Science Academy, IQ in children born from blood-related marriages is found to be lower than those of outbred ones, with the IQ point difference being around 10 to 15 points. The onset of various social profiles, like visual fixation, social smile, sound seizures, oral expression, and hand grasping, are significantly delayed among the newborn inbred babies, according to the study. The negative impact upon the average intelligence of the region is hard to know, but it is likely to have been serious. Yet the EU and its globalist leaders continue to advocate for unfettered mass migration from these countries. And this is one more reason why the people of Europe need to close their borders, or at least monitor them more closely. Another study from the National Academy of Science shows that the risk of having IQ lower than 70 goes up 400% from 1.2% in children with normal parents to 6.2% in children born from these marriages. An IQ lower than 70 is often considered mental retardation. Even in Denmark, a country which has taken measures to combat these relations, immigrant children are clearly represented in the special ed departments of schools. Europe must recognize the differences among those it lets in, because as Danish developmental psychologist Dr. Heimuth Norberg wrote in a 2011 academic journal, the average intelligence in Denmark, for example, is set to decrease due to the country's immigration patterns. Europe must recognize that its attitude of cultural relativism only promotes idiocracy.
Bottom line, folks, a stupid society is a controlled society. And that's what this is all about. And as I read in that article, Moses banned first cousin marriages. And that's what? 4,000 years ago? 3,000 years ago? And then Islam was created 3,600 years... 2,200 years or whatever after that, and restarts the cycle all over again. So you wonder why these people are so barbaric. You wonder why they're still stoning people. You wonder why they burn people alive. You wonder why they behead people. You wonder why they mutilate little girls' vaginas and what have you. You wonder why they're in ghettos. They're unemployed. All of this is not an accident. And when are we Americans going to push back? Now, I'm going to read to you a list of Islamic terrorist attacks. It's been about a week. And I'm just going to give you first the week report. Okay? The weekly report from the religionofpeace.com. June 24th through June 30th. 30 attacks, 157 killed, 159 injured, 7 suicide blasts in 14 countries. Just today in the Philippines, 2 were killed by an Abu Sayyaf linked group, beheads 2 Vietnamese hostages. Yesterday, on our July 4th, 3 instances. Al Arish, Egypt, 3 killed, 10 injured. Fundamentalists killed 3 local police with a planted bomb. Qatif, Saudi Arabia, 1 killed, 3 injured. Shiite radicals are suspected in the murder of a local cop. Mogadishu, Somalia, 2 were killed. 2 guards are killed when Al-Shabaab lob mortars at a government residence. July 3rd, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 6 instances of Islamic terror attacks. And I'm going to read up the line. This is, and this didn't, this, how could this not have come across my email? I get alerts from Fox News and CNN. How, see, this is the controlled media, folks. And this is why I do this show. This never came across my email alerts. Zangili, Iraq. 74 people were killed. 74. The bodies of 74 men, women, and children were shot to death. Not even a bomb, folks. They were shot to death by the Islamic State or discovered in the street. 74 bodies. And yet, I received no mention of this in my email alerts. 74 people. In Humaka, Cameroon, 4 were killed, 10 were injured. 4 people are ripped to shreds by a Shahid suicide bomber. Kakrez, Afghanistan, 4 killed, 1 injured. 2 women are among 4 civilians torn apart by a Taliban explosive. Hawija, Iraq. Big day in Iraq, folks. Big day in Iraq. 12 were killed. A family of 4 is among a dozen people forced into, here we go, forced into cages and burned alive by the Islamic State. Mosul, Iraq. 1 were killed, 3 were injured. 2 female suicide bombers managed to take out another person. So just in Iraq, 87 people were killed in one day due to Muslim Islamic jihadist terrorism. And I submit to you that when Saddam Hussein was leader of Iraq, these things were not taking place, certainly not at this scale. This is absolutely disgusting. These people are animals, not only because of their ideology, which, you know, I mean, I get speechless like this sometimes because I cannot believe that we have to deal with this crap. I just had a flashback, you know, 70s and 80s. None of this crap was going on. None of this. And now I have to sit here and talk about this disgusting filth. And it's not just the psychological brainwashing. It's the fact that they are physically demolished. That's the word that just came to me. They're physically demolished. And as I read in that article, their gene pool may be beyond repair. It may be so damaging that the damage is eternal in at least half of the Muslim world. And these people are being brought into Europe by the thousands, every single day, and God knows how many hundreds or thousands into the United States. And the only reason why we don't look like Europe yet is because, well, obviously, the United States is a continent. You know, the North American continent, you know, the United States obviously makes the most of it. So, yeah, we could absorb this, but for how long, folks? How long can we absorb this infiltration of an inbred, violent, barbaric race, if you will? How long can we sustain this? How long are we going to tolerate it? I think it's either Minnesota or Michigan where a Muslim is joining the race for governor. Hasn't London taught us anything? They have a Muslim mayor. Could you imagine a Muslim governor of Michigan or Minnesota or any other state? You think about that for a second, ladies and gentlemen. And how long are we going to rely on our governments to do the right thing? We have to push back in our schools. We have to push back on who we allow in our neighborhoods. We have to unify under what the founding fathers wanted for this country, and that is to be on the side of Jesus Christ and the cross. This is, folks, a crusade, and you just better deal with it. We have to unite as American Christians and push back against this infiltration, or our children and our grandchildren are going to be in serious, serious trouble. Now, I want to read to you, you know, I used Wall Builders a few weeks ago, but I think it's just fitting. Now, first, I want to read to you a brief part of George Washington's address to his troops before the Battle of Long Island in 1776. And it's funny, I saw that this morning, but we were talking about it at the dinner table last night. Of course, we had family over for the, you know, Independence Day barbecue. And we were just talking about the Revolutionary War. And I said, yeah, you know, the Battle of Long Island was a key turning point in that war, where, you know, that could have been the make or break. So, and it's funny that Jim Mahon, this is an article, and I forgot what Facebook friend I had grabbed it from. It comes from July 4th of last year, actually. This is George Washington's address to his troops before the Battle of Long Island in 1776. Liberty, property, and life are all at stake. And it's at stake today, folks. Upon our courage and conduct rest the hopes of our bleeding and insulted country. I'm now going to say, our courage and our conduct rest the hopes of our children and of our grandchildren and their future to preserve and protect, which George Washington and his troops fought to the death so that we can live in prosperity. Our wives, children, and parents expect safety from us only. That's true. We're obligated to provide our children the safety which provides them the opportunity to grow and prosper under the American ideal. And they have every reason to believe that heaven, God, will crown with success so just a cause. You see, folks, when we stray from what our nation was founded upon, when we stray from the cross, how can we not expect disastrous results? This isn't God putting the finger of damnation and pain on us. God isn't making us suffer. We, the people, are making us suffer. We are creating this vortex of pain and suffering. Not God. We're doing it. And we have to start taking responsibility. We have to ask ourselves, what kind of an America do we want to leave our children? And we have to act accordingly. And I talked about this on a Facebook Live. You know, we have to make some serious decisions about how much longer and in what way are we going to glorify or military-industrial complex. How long are we going to glorify, folks? I saw a commercial. We were watching baseball yesterday, and I saw a commercial where this kid was lying down on his stomach on the beach, a little boy, 7, 8 years old, and he's playing army soldiers. Does he want to grow up and be a G.I. Joe? Does he want to go into the war on terror and fight for our freedoms? Does he want to have endless tours of duties till he comes back so psychologically damaged that maybe he's one of the 25 a day that kills himself or comes back with no arms and no legs? And then we glorify that. Oh, what a hero little Johnny was. How long are we going to continue this cycle? Folks, we are paying through our tax dollars, and we are paying through giving our flesh and blood, our children, over to the military-industrial complex to continue this cycle of suffering. And we have to take ownership. This, as a society, is our fault. Another article or a post that was on Facebook mentions a John Hart. John Hart, as I remember it, because I should have shared it. Obviously, it comes from the Hart family that's still related to him. And then it seems like the Hart family came over in 1630. And this John Hart was a judge, legislator, and an original signer of the Declaration. Now, in the Facebook post, it also showed that he was killed in 1779. He lost his fortune. See, folks, these people, these true warriors and true American patriots, they sacrificed everything. And that's also what we discussed at the dinner table. They lost their families. They lost their properties. They gave it all, folks. They gave it their all. And, you know, I feel bad that I'm not doing that. And I'm not, you know, I just do. I just feel bad. I just don't think I'm doing enough. I know I'm doing this show, but I just know I'm not doing enough. I don't know if we are capable of having the courage of what these men did. So, here's John Hart. This is what he wrote. Thanks be given unto Almighty God, therefore, in knowing that it is appointed for all men once to die, and after that the judgment. Comes from Hebrews 9:27. Principally, I give and recommend my soul into the hands of Almighty God who gave it, and my body to the earth to be buried in a decent and Christian-like manner, to receive the same again at the general resurrection by the mighty power of God. You see, folks, our founding fathers had more godly and devotion to Christ in their pinkies than we seem to have as a whole in our entire bodies. And personally, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed at our country, and quite frankly, I'm embarrassed over my weaknesses. I'm embarrassed that I fell into the trap of materialism in a way. And, you know, I've gotten out of it a lot. My problem is, and I'm just going to say, is that I'm not single. And sometimes I wish I was, because then I would have no one to answer to. Because one thing that isn't really talked about much, and I know there's been a few books written about it, and I'm going to close here, is that, maybe I'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow, the women the women that were married to these men were just as strong. Their convictions to freedom and liberty were just as strong. And these wives had their men's backs. True loyalty that we don't see today in marriages. And I'm going to talk about that during the week as well. These women were just as important as these men. I'll close with Patrick Henry. Revolutionary general, legislator, the voice of liberty, ratifier of the U.S. Constitution, and governor of Virginia. Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. The Bible is a book worth more than all other books that were ever printed, and is true today. Righteousness alone can exalt America as a nation. That is so true. Whoever thou art, remember this, and in thy sphere practice virtue thyself and encourage it in others. And that's up to you parents. You parents are supposed to and are obligated to instruct your children and encourage them in righteousness. The great pillars of all government and of social life are virtue, morality, and religion. This is the armor, my friend, and this alone that renders us invincible. This is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed. That was so beautiful, and that was so eloquent. My name is Michael B. This is the Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.